And this is a lesson that I've put a lot of time in. It's a struggle that we all have. What is God's will? You know, we throw that phrase around a lot. Oh, well, this is God's will. That's not always true. There are things that happen that are not God's will. It's not God's will that any should be lost. Is anybody going to be lost? And there are numerous examples that could be given. So how do you handle it when something bad happens? What do you think God's role is in that? With this COVID thing, I've heard all kinds of explanations as to why God let the COVID thing happen. Some people will say, God caused it. He's striking back at those who have rejected him. Well, that doesn't work. There's too many people that are good, solid Christians that have died because of COVID. And I'm having email after email after email from strong members of the church who have lost their wife, their husband, their kid to this pathogen. Some people say, well, God just wound it up and let it go. He's external to this. He had nothing to do with it. So how do you deal with in him we live and move and have our being? Acts 17. If he's external to it. And some people say, well, this is just a proof that God doesn't exist. If there was a God, he wouldn't let this happen. You know, one of the problems here is that people who give those kinds of explanations, and this can be an atheist or it can be a religious person, have a belief system that is, I think, a problem when you get into this question. It's called determinism. Determinism is a view that God has predetermined everything. Let me read you the statement of what determinism is from the main promoter of it, which is a guy by the name of J.G. Howard. Howard wrote, God has a predetermined plan for every life. It is that which will happen. It is inevitable, unconditional, immutable, irresistible, comprehensive, and purposeful. It is also, for the most part, unpredictable. It includes everything, even sin and suffering. It involves everything, even human responsibility and human decisions. God does it all on his own. He does not react to situations. He creates them. Everything that happens, happens within the predetermined will of God. Your career, your marriage partner, your home location, your grades in school. I would like that one. I wish I could blame all my bad grades on God. Friends, sicknesses, accidents, honors, travels, income, retirement are all a part of God's determined will, but are not revealed to you ahead of time. I've known preachers who say, well, everything that happens is God's will. Atheists say, well, I don't believe in God because if there was a God, he wouldn't let, and you fill in the blank, happen. Cancer, COVID-19, war. See, there are a lot of problems with that view. And if you hold that view, I wish you'd think a little bit about the rest of the Bible, not just statements that talk about God's sovereignty. This makes God a tyrant. It makes man a robot. It makes real love Impossible. How is it possible for you to love somebody? Because you have the choice not to love somebody. If you don't have a choice, real love can't exist, not any kind of love. The most obvious example, I guess, is rape. Is rape love? No. Rape is the deliberate, malicious exploitation of another human being. It has nothing to do with love. Love is impossible unless there's choice. And it makes the actions of humans in the Bible of no validity. There are so many biblical examples where God is surprised or changes his mind about something that happens on the basis of what man does. Jonah, the classic example. Jonah preaches to Nineveh, and Nineveh makes a response. And that ticks Jonah off. Jonah wants to watch God destroy Nineveh. The Bible says it repented God. He changed his mind about what he intended to do to Nineveh. So you can't take the position that everything is determinist with that example. Moses, on several occasions, changed God's mind about something. Read Genesis 32, verses 7 through 14. By the way, all of this will be in the outline of the sermon that you'll get in the mail in the next couple of days. It says, the Lord repented of the evil that he sought to do because Israel had sinned against him terribly and he was tired of it. And Moses talked him out of retaliating. The big problem here is that if you take a determinist position, then the whole purpose of God creating man is destroyed. The whole idea of humans choosing between good and evil, the entire book of Job is lost. If you say that God controls every single aspect, every single detail of human choices in life, so I want to share with you for a few minutes this morning three different ways in which the will of God happens. What the Bible actually says about the will of God. Number one, everything that happens, happens according to God's desire and God's design. That happens sometimes as the will of God. And I think it's important to realize that in reality, we all know that. There are some things that will happen according to God's desire and God's design. Time will end. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend that. How can time end? We are so locked into time. But when we die, there is no time. And everything that goes with time is gone. Think about that. No more death. No more pain. No more suffering. No cancer. No COVID. That's going to happen. Judgment is going to happen. Not a question of anybody changing God's mind about it. Ephesians 1, beginning with the first verse, says, and going through verse 11, talking about God, he says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having planned that we should be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ. You know, I've always been interested in the fact that adoption is used in discussing that relationship, because I have three adopted kids. It was my choice to adopt my three children. It was my children's choice as to whether to accept that adoption or not. So there are times when God has a desire, and it is God's decision about us. And this doesn't mean we were predestined in any way, but those who choose to accept the adoption have that promise. That's what is predestined. The passage goes on and says, he has done what in his kindness he planned to do, which he made us welcome on an everlasting love that he bears towards the beloved. For God allow us to know the secret of his plan. It was his loving design, which he purposed that all human history should be consummated in Christ, both in heaven and on earth. And here's the staggering thing, that in all which will one day belong to him, we have been promised a share, since we were long ago destined for this by the one whose purpose is everywhere at work. God could not be talked out of sending his son to die on the cross. That was his purpose. That was his desire. There are times when things happen that are God's desire and God's decision. And there are numerous references to this. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, starting with verse 4. There are different ways of doing things, but it is the same God who achieves his purposes through them all. So number one, God's desire and God's decision. That's sort of determinist, isn't it? But it's applied to a very limited number of things. Number two, according to God's desire and man's decision. And remember, the first one was God's desire and God's decision. Now it's God's desire and man's decision. Lots of examples. How about marriage? Genesis 2 and verse 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's God's desire. That's the ideal. That's the relationship that works. But in the past, there have been men who wanted more than one wife. I could give you all kinds of reasons why that won't work. But anyway, in Mark 10 and verse 5, Jesus said, it was because of the hardness of your hearts that Moses allowed that. See, God made what clear what his desire was, what was best. But it was man's decision as to whether to accept that or not. So again, in Mark 10 and verse 5, it was because of the hardness of your hearts that Moses wrote such a command as that. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That's Jesus talking. Today we have people talking about all kinds of alternative marriages. A woman married a chimpanzee. Another woman married her chihuahua. And there's all kinds of alternative life choices, but they don't work. Look at the numbers. Look at the statistics. God told man what he should eat. That was God's desire. But that wasn't followed. And in the New Testament, we're told not to make that an issue. Romans 14, beginning with verse 1. One believes he may eat all things, while another eats herbs. Let him who eats all things not despise him who does not eat. That's verse 17. And here's the key phrase in that passage. The kingdom of God is not about meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You want to be a vegetarian? Have at it. There are some things that we know from common sense should not be eaten. The current virus that we're experiencing apparently came about because of markets where animals that would never have been touched or entertained by a Jewish person carried the virus that has jumped to us. And there are virtually every destructive virus we have had, all of our STDs, have jumped from animals to humans. God never encouraged us to engage in those relationships, but he never condemned it. Another one is special days. In the back of your bulletin, there's a little essay I wrote about Halloween. Romans 14, beginning with verse 5, says, one man esteems one day above another, while another esteems all days alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord. You're not going to hear a sermon blasting Thanksgiving or blasting Christmas from me, at least. Why not? Well, because those special days are not something that God condemned. I'm thankful. You know, I've heard Church of Christ people complain about Christmas, but at least there's a time when people are praising God. Most of them once a year. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord. Well, a classic example of God's desire and man's decision. Listen to this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and thou wouldst not. It's Matthew 23, verse 37. Who said it? Jesus Christ. See, God's desire for Jerusalem was very specific. But men rejected it. Man's decision was not what God had told them he wanted. And look what happened. The tragedy, the death, the lessons of history. God's desire, God's will is clear. But man's decision frequently leads to catastrophe. And the third relationship about God's will is man's decision and God's permission. The classic example of that is in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, starting with verse 5. God had had a very close personal relationship with Israel. But the Israelites looked around and they saw everybody around them had a king. So they said, God, we want a king. We want a king just like everybody else, like the Amorites and the Hittites. And God, we want a king. And God says, man, you know what's going to happen if you have a king? He's going to take your money. You're going to have taxes. You're going to lose your daughters. He goes through, read the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, especially verses 18 on, and God spells it out exactly what's going to happen if they have a king. But the Israelites say, Yeah, okay. We want a king. Are you listening? We want a king. And you know what happened? The first king they had was big trouble, Saul. And king after king after king brought misery and imprisonment and eventually a loss of everything. Lydia made a decision. In Acts 16 and verse 40, and God permitted the church to meet in her house. And sometimes God uses our decisions to accomplish his will. Classic example, Joseph. Read Genesis 45, verses 4 through 10. You know the story. Because of the father's unjudicious lauding of his youngest son, he created a rift in the family, which ended up with Joseph being thrown in a pit and sold as a slave. Now, that wasn't the will of God. God didn't do that. God didn't cause that. It was jealousy and bad judgment and selfishness and sin. But God used it to accomplish his will. I think that happens in our lives as well. We can make a bad decision, and sometimes God takes that bad decision and turns it into something good. And I could give you a dozen examples that are local. We're collecting food for Schultz Lewis. Do you ever hear about how Schultz Lewis got started? Long story. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible is full of those examples. The birth of Jesus, there was a woman named Anna, a widow. She was 84 years old. And she was a Jewish widow. What should have happened was that her husband's brother should have married her. But for whatever reason, man's decision was contrary to what Jewish law had said. But God permitted her to be a temple widow, cared for in the temple, spent her time in the temple. And she was one of the great testifiers to the validity of Jesus. Read Luke 2, starting with verse 36, and see what she did. So three wills of God: God's desire and God's decision. We have no control over that. We can read about it. We can see it. God's desire and man's decision. That's a long, sad, unfortunate history. And that's something we can do something about, because our decisions can be closer to God. And thirdly, man's decision and God's permission. There are some things God lets us do, but we bear the consequences of what we do. And when we don't seek God's will, we reap the consequences. So how does God's will affect your life? How does God's will affect my life? The Bible is just full of admonitions to us about knowing God's will. God drafted people in the past to do his will. Acts 22, verse 14, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will. Colossians 1 and verse 27. This mystery among the Gentiles but unto his people his will is known. And, you know, sometimes God can stop us if we're headed the wrong direction. In Acts 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, when they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithy, and the Spirit of Jesus would not permit them. You know what happens to us sometimes is that God's will is pretty clear, but we've got our own idea, and so we force things. I've known churches who mortgaged their building to do something in the mission field that was a total disaster. They did it anyway. Let me tell you kind of a neat story. This happened about 40 years ago. I had this brainy idea that I was going to prepare a mobile exhibit. So I went over to Elkhart and I priced out a trailer. I was going to mortgage my house, buy this trailer, and build an exhibit in it and go all over the country taking it to state fairs and local fairs and what have you. My wife was not happy about that. And I had a friend named Gary McDonald who was preaching in Rochester, and he called me up one day and he said, John, I think I have something for you. I said, what's that? He said, I got an old camper trailer here that I'll give you. You can make that mobile exhibit you're thinking about out of that old trailer. I said, hey, man, I'm talking to people in Elkhart. I can buy a 40-foot trailer. He said, how much you paying? Frankly, I don't remember the amount, but it was way beyond any amount of money I had. I'm talking about mortgaging stuff and scraping up the money to do it. So I told him whatever the figure was. It was tons of money. He said, John, this trailer won't cost you anything. And I'll give you $100 for materials to refurbish it. Okay. I prayed about it. I called him back. I was going to tell him no. And he said, John, are you going to listen to God's will, or are you going to follow your own stubborn way of doing things? Yeah, that didn't feel too good. So I told my Wednesday night class, I was teaching at the church at that time, I said, here's what's happened. And there were two or three guys sitting in the back row that never said a word in class. And they said, hey, we can do that. We'll come on here. I'll donate my time. I've got some stuff you can use for that. All of a sudden, you know, you hit my head hard enough, long enough, I begin to think. I said, okay, Saturday morning, anybody wants to come and help, we'll gut the trailer and we'll build a new trailer. I didn't think anybody would show up. That Saturday morning, there were 10 guys showed up. One of them was a guy named Tom Love. Tom Love had never become a Christian. He came to church with his wife, Marilyn. He was a retired Air Force pilot. But he came and he helped. He saw guys hit the wrong nail with a hammer and not turn the air blue. He listened to the bantering and the kidding and the good-natured stuff that was going on among these Christian men. We worked 8 hours, and when we got done, we had a mobile exhibit. That exhibit lasted until it got to the point where when we went around a corner, the whole thing would shift. But that Sunday after we fixed that trailer, Tom Love came down the aisle and said, I want to become a Christian. And Tom's words were, I have heard the gospel plan, but I had never seen Christianity work until yesterday. Tom Love, the Barnabas of the Donmar Avenue Church. We used to have devotionals on Tuesday nights at Tom and Marilyn's place. He worked for our Does God Exist program. He was involved in everything you can imagine. And I told my wife, I said, you know, if we don't do anything else with this trailer, just convert it in Tom Love. Made it worthwhile. That was God's will. I tell you that story to say to you, you know, we need to listen to God. We need to not blindly plow ahead without thinking about the applications of the things that we're doing. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Colossians 1 and verse 9, I have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Matthew 12 and verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You say, well, that's all fine and dandy, but how do I know what God's will is? The answer is to read his will. It's called the Bible. To study his will. To understand that God permits us to reap what we sow, both good and bad. That's Galatians 6 and verse 7. God is not mocked. By the way, I would apply this nationally as well as individually. Our nation has sowed and is sowing some things that are contrary to God's will. I think it's important to read what God said about the fact that every human being is of value. And that has not been our practice as a nation. We've talked about that before. Black lives do matter. Women do matter. You matter. Read God's word. See what it says. You can know God's will. It isn't obtuse. It isn't difficult. And when we make decisions, we need to think about, is the motivation for this decision mine or is it God's will? You know, we sing a song that is really a pretty good decision maker about this. It's a song we all know, number 619. Let me just read the lyrics to you. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. When you make decisions, you're talking about God about it? Abide in him always and feed on his word. That's how you get God's will. That's how you know whether you should make this decision or not. Make friends of God's children. I look at this Zoom thing and I see people I love, people I trust, people that are completely different than everybody else out there. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. The commodity drive, the food bank. Forgetting nothing, his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. When was the last time you shut off the TV? Closed yourself. Maybe looked out the window. But focused on Jesus. By looking to Jesus like him, you shall be. That's how you become like Christ. That's how you know God's will. Thy friends, in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be your guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Why? Because that's how you know what God's will is. And it's important that you don't write it off and say, well, whatever God says, that's what's going to happen. That's not biblical. Knowing God's desire and knowing we have the freedom to choose is part of living the Christian life. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love. See, God's spirit is active and dynamic, helps you know his will. You will see fitted for service above. God's will is not a mystery. Our weaknesses frequently do not allow us to let our decisions conform to God's will. And those suggestions that that song makes and what we have talked about this morning is a way to change that. So if you come to a decision about life, about your relationship to Jesus, with this Zoom and with us scattered all over the place, it's difficult, but all you need to do is pick up the phone if you need help, spiritually or physically. Because that's the will of God. Let's sing this invitation song with the idea of thinking about our personal relationship with God. Let's sing together.